Thank you for sharing. Those who shared with us tonight, thank you for sharing. So you're welcome, whether you are online or you are here with us, you're welcome to church. It's the anniversary, and we've been talking about new beginnings. New wine, comma, new wine skins. Yes, that's how you give me. And when I first saw it, I said, Pastor Bidin, now wow. Why do you give somebody this kind of hard theme? And then God began to break it down and told me exactly what he wanted me to say. And over the years, you know, when you walk with God, you get more familiar with how he speaks to you. You get more familiar with how he leads you. You know exactly what to do. And as a minister, you get more familiar with how to flow with the Holy Ghost. So while I teach, I do a bit more prophetic teaching. I'm not saying I'm a prophet, but I do a bit more prophetic teaching. So it's a lot along the lines of inspiration. It's not very much a case of trying to get you all of the scriptures that have a word, trying to find you the Hebrew, trying to find you the Greek, trying to find you how many times it appeared in the New Testament. There are methodical teachers that can do that, and I will do that. I can study that, but I study that for myself. But when I speak, I go strictly by inspiration. And once I looked at the theme someday, and I began to pray and said, God, okay, this is the theme Pastor Bidin has given me on work. What do I do? He said, day one, say this. Day two, say this. Day three, say this. So I had all 3 days laid out very quickly what exactly he wanted me to touch upon. So I'm just following the plan, which I believe is God's will, God's plan, and God's word to us. Can I have an amen? Amen. So Mark chapter 2 is the main text, and we will read from verse 18. The Bible says the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. And you know, as I read that one, I'm remembering I had one old cloth. It cut, it tore. I liked it very much, so I went to have them put another one and patch it up, you know, but it didn't last. Scripturally, it fulfills scripture. He tore again. And then it's like Humpty Dumpty that now had a great fall. And I could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. So very tearfully, I buried it. But then I said to the tailor, I said, see that cloth, buy another material that looks just like that. And sew it just like that one, you know, and it did. And it tore again. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so verse 22, he said, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine busts the wineskins. That's why we're reading all of this, okay? So it says the new wine busts the wineskins, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskin. So we said basically it's the breakdown of what God is saying to us, the overall heading of what God is saying to us, I believe. If you know what I mean, you will stretch that sand. You put small inside your egg, you know. You can't just take a whole can of sardine and eat the whole can of sardine. But I had no clue what sardine costed. You know, so, but I was made to believe that it was huge, it was big, it was such an issue. But as we grew, we could afford sardine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then now we can look and say, sardine lo mi jeleni. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's just an example. I'm saying to you that the things that were big to you in the past will not be big to you forever. In fact, very soon they will not be very big to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, years ago, I had a dispute with a friend of mine, and the dispute was over some money. And we argued back and forth, and I said, you know what, just stop it. I said, because we will fight over this thing. I said, and in a few years' time, this money we're talking about will be small to both of us. I said, but our friendship will be destroyed. And true to what, the amount of money is very small to both of us today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying to you that God will move you forward in so much that you'll be looking back and say, was it me that I was running from that thing? Was it me that I couldn't afford that? Was it me that used to go to the hospital all of the time? Are you still with me, anybody? You know, as I grew up also, our doctor in the house knew me. If he didn't know any member of our family, he knew me. Because I was the most faithful to use the medical thing that we had with that hospital. I was the most faithful because I was in virtually every month. I had to go to the hospital. I was asthmatic. So in between asthma and malaria, one of them had me slammed on the floor each month. So if I went this month for asthma, the following month I was back for malaria. So if they didn't know any other member of my family, that doctor knew me. Recently I saw him. He remembers me. You were there. He knows me. He knows me personally. He knows my dad, of course, but he knows me. I'm number four, you know, so I have many older siblings, but he knows me. Thanks to the sickness that I battled with. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you know, now I have health insurance, and I don't use it. Are you with me? I don't use it. If I have very good health insurance. One day, the manager of the health insurance company came to our office, and he said, "Doctor, you have a very good plan." He said, "But you don't do anything with it. Except go for scaling and polishing of my teeth." He said, "At least go and do health checkup every year. Your plan covers it." And that's correct. I should do health checkup. So I've been telling myself, yes, I need to do that one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I moved from where the doctor knew me to where they are saying, begging me to use the health insurance. God says there will be new beginnings. Are you still there, anybody? I said there'll be new beginnings for you in the name of Jesus. So here we find the main text, which is that Jesus was talking. Forget about the fasting part. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow by the grace of God. But basically, he was saying that when God is doing a new thing, which is the new wine, that's what it means. When God is about to do a new thing, and we found that new wine means prosperity, new wine means God's blessing. It's when God is blessing people that he talks about new wine in the Old Testament. So Proverbs 3 verse 9, for instance, he said that now when you honor the Lord with your substance and all of that, and the first fruits of your increase, he said your vats will burst with new wine. That's God trying to describe blessings upon us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when we have the blessings of God come upon us, what Jesus is saying is that when God is about to bless you, yafu, yafu, then you have to prepare the windscreen also. Are you with me, anybody? So God was telling us yesterday, I'm going to bless you exceedingly much. But when he's talking about, that's the new wine side of the message. But when he's talking about the new wineskin, he's saying you have to be prepared to contain or to receive the blessings that God has in mind for you. Are you there? I dare say to you that we have had too many letdowns by believers. We have had too many believers who God pours into and they break open. They break down. Many years ago, I don't know how many years, Pastor BJ is much better than I am in the memory thing. I preached something on, can you survive success? Can you survive success? Because everybody thinks that it's tough. Oh, things are tough. I don't have. I can't. I'm not, things are not working. Blah, blah, blah. Listen, blessing can be tough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And many people have not survived the blessings that God has in mind. God has been let down too many times by people who are unprepared for the positions that they get to. People who are unprepared for the money that comes into their hands. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People who are unprepared even for the anointing that comes into their lives. They pray, they do also, and then they hit that unction, but they are unprepared for it. The wineskin is too brittle. The wineskin was not prepared for what God was about to do. So having said and having announced to us that God says he will bless us, that one is not in doubt. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, in 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, God was speaking and he said what? He said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth, looking for whom he may show himself strong on their behalf. God has never been the problem of our blessings. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God has never, ever been the problem where your blessing is concerned. God is on your side. God is trying to bless us. God is trying to do the best for us. God is trying to open doors for us. God is trying to heal us. God is trying to do everything that you have ever dreamt of and more. That's the Ephesians 3:20 we saw. He is trying to do it. But we are not ready for what he wants to do in many cases. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not the fact that, you know, because very often we then start to do what we say we're going to fast. And when we're trying to fast, or we say we'll go on, or we'll do, I'm going to pray all night. And then we add all kinds of gymnastics into it, because at the back of our minds, we imagine that God is standing there and saying, no, I won't give him. You say, God, now, I say, no, I won't give you. Say, I beg. You say, no, I won't give you. Say, Jesus, and say, leave that one alone. I won't give you. Then say, I will fast, oh. I won't eat, oh. I mean, God, I won't eat for 7 days, oh. If you don't give me, I won't eat for 7 days. I just collapse, I won't eat, oh. Then God said, no. Then say, okay, I won't wear any clothes at midnight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible speaks differently than that. The Bible is saying that God wants to do something for me. God wants to bless me. I like the scripture. I think that's Psalm 103, if I'm right. And it says that as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities his own people. You know what that means? It means that God feels for me. So whatever I might be going through, the one I've not even said, God feels it for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, I'm thinking, when will it be? God's thinking, when will this guy get it? Because that's the way a father feels. So God is not on the opposite side. God is on my side trying to make things work for me. But the problem is that I am not ready to receive what he has in mind. Go to 3 John. Go to 3 John. That's my second text today. 3 John. So God said, they won, declare just as it is, that new things are coming. Hallelujah. New things are coming. Remember that scripture we read yesterday, Isaiah 43, 18, 19. He said, remember not the things of old, consider not the old things. He said, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. And before it springs up, will you not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. You know, every time I read the phrase, I will from God, it means something extra. Because when he was speaking in the New Testament, he said when God could swear by no one, he looked for anyone greater, he couldn't find anyone by whom to swear. He said, because when men want to make you certain that they mean what they say, they will say, you know, I swear, I swear, I swear, I swear, I swear by my mother's grave. I swear by, he said, you look for something greater and you swear by that. He said, now God wanting to swear and wanting to assure of the immutability of his promises. What that means is just big grammar. It just means that the unchangeableness of his promise. The fact that if he has said it, it must happen. He said, God wanting to convince us of how immutable his promises are, he couldn't find anyone greater to swear by. So he said, in blessing, surely I will Bless you. And it means that every time you see "I will," I think I preached something on that before, that when God swears, every time God says "I will," he swears, he says, "Ah, Olongbo." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, Olongbo, I will bless you. So when he says, "I will do a new thing," he says, "Ah, Olongbo, I will do a new thing in your life." Are you there? He said, "Olongbo, I will make ways in the wilderness and streams in the desert." So when you are in the wilderness, he said, "I will." Look at your neighbor, say, "He's talking to me." Oh. He's talking to me. Oh. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Have you found out, John? Okay, look at verse 2. He said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. So John was inspired to write this. And he was saying that God's desire is that things work for us. Things work for us in all areas. Prosper in all things. And be in health. But he added a clause to it. He said, "It is just as your soul prospers." Now, I wouldn't, because somehow as I was praying, I felt people might want to get into that dichotomy of, is it the spirit, is it the soul that he's talking about? He's just saying that as you do well spiritually. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because man is a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. So while he's here, he's a spirit that has a soul, but he's contained on the earth in a body. So that, whether spirit or soul, is very difficult often to divide. Are you hearing me? We can get into divisions. We know that the soul is the seat of the man's memory, the man's emotions, the man's feelings and all of that, the attitude. We know certain things that are there. Okay, but we're saying that it is a spirit that has a soul, so they are together. Are you hearing me? So basically, John was saying by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that God wishes that we prosper and be in health, but as our soul prospers. So what has been wrong with the wineskin is that it's not prospering alongside with the prosperity or the increase. That word prosperity just means progress. Are you hearing what I'm saying? With the progress that God is bringing your way. And I've seen that too many times. You know, years ago, we're somewhere, it was a birthday party. And this lady, you know, who was crying. So when you sit in a birthday party and somebody's crying, in a birthday party, we're all happy. I mean, rice and soup very plenty. Everybody's excited. Everybody's happy. So we said a word of prayer together for the celebrant and all of that. And I noticed that this lady was just down and depressed. So I said, when we finished, I said, "What's wrong with you?" She said, "Well, I didn't get the admission that I wanted to university. I wanted." I said, "Really?" And then she told me about it. I said, "You know what? The Bible says that if any two of us shall agree concerning anything, shall be done." I said, "So why don't we just pray about it?" So we openly, we read the scripture. I said, we can pray about it. You know, she said, "So my dad is taking me to another university. That's not where I want to go to. We've checked everywhere. They didn't take me in UI, which is the one she wanted." Now they're taking me somewhere else on Monday. I said, "Well, we'll just pray." So we prayed about it. And I said, after the prayer, I said to her, I said, "Well, you know what? Don't argue. Don't fight anybody. Be well. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy." I said, "But on Monday, just beg your dad." I said, "Please, can we go and check one more time before they take you to the other place?" And they went to check one more time, and her name was on top of the list. Are you with me? Now, you can argue all you want. How did he get there? That's your business. But I know she went to UI, she graduated from UI. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But guess what? That was about the last time we saw her in fellowship. Huh? She entered UI and that was it. And then the stories that began to emanate were not very pleasant. Huh? "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper, make progress, and be in health, just as your soul prospers." I know ministers who God began to bless, things began to work for them, things began to happen for them, and then you look at them and you can almost not recognize them from who they used to be. Are you with me? Are you beginning to get what I'm saying? Because today God is saying to me to emphasize to you that that soul of ours must be brought under submission to the word of God, must be completely laid down before God, influenced by God, permeated by God, rubbed on by God, in so much that when God begins to lift you up and bless you, nothing changes about you. You will flow in the will of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the prosperity of fools destroys them. And there have been many fools around. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But who is a fool? He's the one that doesn't know God. That's what Proverbs 1:7 tells us. He said it is to know God as the beginning of wisdom. So when you don't know God as you should, then you are in trouble. The wineskin is not ready. And cannot contain successfully what God is bringing its way. You become quiet now. Are you still there? Let somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's read two stories. Go to 2 Chronicles. Let's start from Luke chapter 12. Luke the 12th chapter. Luke chapter 12. We'll read from verse 13. If you have a Bible like mine, it has a subtitle that says the parable of who? The rich fool. Abi? The parable of what? The rich fool. So you can be rich but be foolish. Are you still there? And that somebody is rich doesn't mean he's wise. They are rich fools. It existed in Bible times, they still exist now. People that don't know what to do with what God has given to them. People that misplace what God has given to them because they don't know God himself. So they don't understand the purpose for which God is blessing them. Are you still there? And there are many. I don't want to name names. But there are many. Luke 12, are you still there? Look at verse 13. He said, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware. Can I hear say beware? He said, beware of covetousness. What is covetousness? Huh? Greed. Grab, grab. You know, I remember when we were in school also. We were doing business studies. I don't know if the man still taught you. But we had a business studies teacher. I've forgotten his name. But one day he came and he said, today we're going to talk about liability. And he said, what is liability? Who can tell me what is liability? And we're all cracking our head, what is liability? And he said, gong gong bese, liability. Then he turned it into a song for Gininje, liability, gong gong bese, liability. So, you can see it was effective. I never forgot. That when you gong gong bese, it's huge debt. So he said, that is a liability. Huge debt. So I've never forgot it. Every time I see liability, I remember gong gong bese. Are you still there? He said, beware of covetousness. That's grab, grab. Because I also remembered when they say beware, it means what? Be aware of it. It means stay aware of it. It means watch out for it. It means don't think that you don't have a problem with it if you don't stay on guard for it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It means that it's lurking around the corner. And you have to be aware that it is there. You have to be aware that it exists. You have to be aware that it's after you if you are not careful. Are you still there? When I grew up here, I mean, we had a lot of houses in Bodija that had the signs on them, what? Beware of dogs. Beware. It means that whether you see it or not, enter at your own risk. I mean, whether you hear whoa, whoa or not, we have warned you. Be aware of dogs. Whether it is Loki or Sishan, we don't need to tell you. Some will say beware of wild dogs. Those ones are being extra kind. But if they have told you beware of dogs, And you just march into the place like a kingy. You're on your own. You understand? They say, but you saw the sign. Beware of dogs. So one day, I went, my friend, I knew they had dogs. So I marched into the compound. Because we always do. I marched into their compound and the dog welcomed me. The dog was loose in the afternoon. It was the dog that I just entered into his hand, facing me like this. When the dog greeted me, I turned. And I sped off. And the dog followed. I ran out of the compound. The dog followed me down the road. I was screaming as I ran. And the dog continued to chase. And then after a while, I could feel the jaw of the dog. You know, when your leg hits the jaw. When it hits it, you know, you think you have reached your limit. Human beings are supernatural. When my heel hits the jaw, I increased the speed again. I said I was not a gear 4 car. I had gear 5. I just put in gear 5. I sped forward again. And then the owner came out, thankfully, and saved me from that dog. Are you still there? He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Why? For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. It means those things should never matter. That's what he's trying to say to you. Things should never matter to you. iPhone 16. Which one? iPhone 20. Whatever car. Whatever your bank statement reads like, shouldn't matter to you. Are you hearing me? It means that when it begins to matter to you, beware of covetousness. Are you hearing me? And once you begin to look at it, and you look at your bank statement, now you're tell yourself, are you still there? Because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Are you still there? You know, it's easier or it's better for you to understand and to know that the reason why you have at all is because God is giving to you. He said that there's nothing a man has that he has not received. Are you still there? So it's the reason why you can hold a gun and say, your life or your car, your life or your phone, I will hand it to you. Because that's not my life. My life can generate a new one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My life will reproduce what you saw. Are you still there? This is nothing. I received it. I can have it again. I don't need to fight you because of this one. So whether also you are my friend or whatever, you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 6? He said, allow yourself to be defrauded. Like, why are you fighting? And then you are fighting, a brother fights a brother. He said, and then you take yourself to court before a secular judge. He said, what exactly are you fighting over? Why can't you allow yourself to be defrauded? Are you with me? You know, Abraham stood. And he looked at Lot. Lot was follow. God called Abraham, not Lot. God called Abraham, the Bible says, in exact words, the Bible said, and Lot went with him. God didn't say, Abraham, take Lot. He said, God called Lot, Abraham, leave your father's house, I'll take you to a land where I will give to you. And Lot went with him. And the blessing was falling on Lot, And then both of them were prospering so much, in so much that their servants began to fight for space. And Abraham said to Lot, you know what, we'll need to separate now. We have too much abundance for the space we are in. He said, now you look, any place you choose, I will go in the opposite direction. Lord should have said to him, I followed you. I mean, God has blessed me because I was with you. So, uncle, I cannot choose before you. You are the elder. Choose first. Lord quickly looked. The Bible said, look. He had ant in his eyes. He had ants in his eyes. He looked. He said, that place is green. He picked the one that is green and very nice looking and all of that. And Abraham didn't struggle. He said, the one you choose, I will go the other direction. What was happening to Abraham? Abraham understood that whatever it is I have, God gave me and he can give me times 10. Are you getting what I'm saying? Abraham understood that I don't need to struggle with you. You don't know how these things came. It's not by struggle. It's not by sweat. It's because God is helping me. That's why when Abraham went to war and he fought and he won and he got all the spoils of war, the king, Melchizedek, I mean the king of what's that country, came to him and said, look, give me the people back, but take all the spoils, all the goods you took at war. He said, take it. Abraham said, lie. He said, because I have sworn that no man will be able to say that I made Abraham rich. What was he saying? He said, Abraham will be rich, Abraham will be great, but it's because God is with him. Are you still there? We're talking about your soul. How you think. How you see things. Except your perspectives change. Are you hearing me? You are not ready for what God wants to do. When God blesses you that way, you can self-destruct. So in preparation, God will do what he will do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What I'm saying to you is that I don't want you to destroy yourself with the blessing that God brings your way. And in preparation for that, you will have to work on your soul. Are you still with me? Let me quickly read. Time is fast, and it's running pretty fast. He said, then he spoke to them. Verse 16. So remember the warning he had given. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, so, ayela jekato joron. Abi? He says, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool. Can I hear you say fool? He said, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know, there's a scripture. It's coming back to me now. Because as I drove around town, I began to see certain some new structures. And I thought to myself, they seem impressive. I believe I'll find it. I think it's in Psalm 44. And you know, I began to think to myself that, you know, people will think this is very impressive. But some of us have also seen what was there before. No, it's not Psalm 44. It says that people have things and they name the lands and things after themselves, thinking that it will last forever. Eh? It's 49. Psalm 49. Please, help me find it. He says, so I looked at it and I said, look, you know, I was seeing some new nice structures. And I thought, you know, everybody will be impressed. This man will be so impressed with himself. He asked this. People will be impressed with him and all of that. And I said, but we knew what was there before. Some of us grew up in this city. And we knew that somebody had something magnificent there before, who also thought that he was sitting on top of the world, but it's nowhere to be found today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the things that we struggle, the things that we think are a big deal, are not a big deal. They are transient. It's okay to have. I'm not saying you shouldn't have. I'm just saying that those things shouldn't have you. You should have a mindset that understands how these things work. You should have a mindset that is actually just after the will of God, a mindset that just wants to give glory to God in all that you do and with all that you have. That's what I'm saying to you. Are you here? Because I'm saying God will bless you, but your mindset shouldn't be, oh, you start looking at those things, because your life doesn't consist of those things. Your mindset should be someone who remembers where they came from. Are you still with me? You found it. Psalm 49 verse 11. He said they had things and their inner thought is that their houses will last forever. They are dwelling places to all generations. So they call their lands after their names. You know, they name the street, they name. But those things are gone. Are you with me? They are gone. Hallelujah. Let's read one or two stories here in the Bible. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. I spoke about this man yesterday and I know... I hope you get the message tonight. The idea is this. There's no transformation that happens for a child of God except your soul is changed. Your mindset, your thinking is changed and it matches the way God thinks. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why he said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he said, be not conformed to this world. It means that it is possible for believers to be conformed or to behave like the world. It's possible for a believer to behave the way everybody else is behaving. That money is riding him. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the rich fool we just read about, for instance, he had the abundance, and then he sat down and said, what will I do? He's a fool. As a child of God, you should know that God will give you abundance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As a child of God, you should be expecting the blessings of God. But as a child of God, you should be so rich in your relationship towards God that you are prepared for where God is taking you to. Are you hearing me? There are many people who have rich positions. So, you know, so I remember years ago, somebody was telling me, you know, we have two senators in our church. I said, stop. I said, they were in your church when they were running for the office. Say, yeah, they were always top member, blah, 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 and then the Senate. I said, are they still in your church? Do they still come to church? You know, sometimes, I said, that's the problem. I said, can your pastor still call them? Do they pick his calls? Do they call him back if they can't? I said, that's the problem right there. They were in church, they were fasting, they were praying, they were in every prayer meeting with you. Listen, you know, recently I had a shock, very big shock of my life. A pastor was celebrating his birthday, big church, and the governor of the state was there, Pentecostal pastor. And the wife, you know, people talked and all that, the wife was going to introduce him. I'm not saying names, but the wife was going to introduce him and said that this governor... Now, I've heard things already about this governor. And the wife said that this governor, didn't say governor, he said this person, because in introducing, he said in those days when church was starting and all that, he said in our house, early in the morning, there were some people that will always be with my husband and they will wake me up with prayers. Sometimes they will be there, they will pray all night, yakaba, pray in tongues and all of that. And he said, this person I'm about to call is one of those people. And when she called governor, I almost fell on the floor. Because I thought, this one, used to be there all night praying in tongues. This one, the kind of things we have heard, this one. Are you hearing me? But that won't be your story. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That won't be your story. God will bless you, but you will still be God's man. You will still be God's woman. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But those people were not prepared. So the man got the thing and he said, what will I do now? That question itself reveals stupidity. I always say to people, prepare for where you expect to go to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Prepare yourself in your mind. How many cars do you want to drive? Oh, I want to drive two cars. Two good cars. It means that if you make an extra 100 million, you won't buy a third one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But what happens? Because somebody made an extra money, then some will even go and crash the one he has to show you that he has money. You know, somebody was telling me years ago, and he said, this is our friend. He is very rich. We were under 40 then. He said, if you are looking for billionaires under 40, 10 of them. He said, he'll be one of them. I said, He said, yeah. He said, one day, he bought 3 Range Rovers. I was thinking to myself, we're in here. Have you? On top of it, he wasn't married though. And that's not the only cars he had. So, and then you go there and say, give me 3 of them. Something is happening to you. Are you with me, anybody? There was a good man I spoke to years back. He's late now. Chairman, many industries and things and all of that. And the man spoke. I was so impressed with him. I had to go and greet him specially after that event. And we talked a bit more after that event. And the man was telling me, he said, you know, that the problem we have is that people want to show off. He said, so when he tells people where he lives, they're like, really? You live there? Surulere? Not in Ikoyi? Not Banana Island? Because, I mean, he's a well-known name. He was a well-known name in this country. He said, but why do I need to move? He said, I like my house. I'm comfortable in that house. I like my neighborhood. It's nice, and nobody harasses me. I have lived there for 40-something years. He said, why do I need to prove to anybody that I got any extra money? Are you still there? Are you getting the message? Okay, so let's look at 2 Chronicles 14. So we've spoken about the rich fool. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 14. We'll read some stories. You know, again, years ago, I preached something on what the... I said it recently and I've forgotten now. The secrets of the kings. And that's on the kings of Israel and Judah. So if you read first... Well, if you read actually from the book of Samuel down to 2 Chronicles, it's about the kings, basically. And what I like is that their secrets are told. Why they succeeded, why they failed. You know, almost like Robert Sladen's book that hit back then, you know. So I like reading those stories. When I'm studying and I'm reading through Kings, I'm reading through Chronicles, I like it because I'm reading why they succeeded, why they failed. They were on top of their own world. You know, they were at the top, very top. They were the kings. Kings owned everything, including the humans. But some did very well. Some failed very well. Are you hearing me? And two examples that I particularly like that I want to show you, because what God is saying to us is that the wineskin, so today I'm speaking about the new wineskin. That the new breed of people God is raising are people that think differently about the blessings of God. They think differently even about the unction of God. Are you hearing me? And because when God anoints you, he entrusts you with something. And they don't see themselves as a big deal. Are you hearing me? They understand that they is stewardship. And they must steward what God has given rightly, faithfully. Are you still there? They know that if God gives you money, it's stewardship. And you have to steward it aright. And the only way to do that is to ensure that you get your soul cleansed and permeated and infused by the word of God, such that your thinking matches with the way God thinks. I was talking about Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So living the transformed believer's lives can only happen, he said, by the renewal of your minds. That's why John was praying. And he said, I pray that you are blessed, you make progress as your soul prospers, so that you have a transformed life. As God is blessing you, you are prepared to receive it, and he's not going to make you mess up. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 14. I spoke about Asa very briefly yesterday, and I spoke about Asa from 2 Chronicles 14. I mentioned him. I mentioned his prayer in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11, where they were faced with an army that was twice their own size, about 1 million men, Ethiopians, came against them, and they were just about 500,000. And Asa said in verse 11, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord. Our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail. And guess what? They won. They won. But chapter 15, God sends a warning to Asa, verse 2. He sent a man to him by the name of Azariah, and Azariah spoke to Asa, King Asa, verse 2, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Chapter 16. So this is now the tragedy. Asa faces another army, which is not as big as the previous army. But Asa now has dwindled in his walk with God. So Asa goes to Syria, sends them gifts, and makes a treaty with Syria and say, come and help us. And God says, Kai. The ones you faced before, were they not mightier, more and mightier than this army? What has happened to you? Why are you making a treaty now with Syria to come and help you? What has become of you, Asa? And the person that came to deliver the message, Asa dealt with him, was very angry. That's where God said, what the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to show himself mighty on behalf of the person whose heart is loyal towards him. But guess what? The Bible says at the end of the day, again, Asa died a terrible death. The Bible says that he had a sickness, but again, he had shifted his gaze from God. So that even at that time, he didn't consult God. He was just working with physicians alone. And the Bible says he died. What it implies to me is that he would not have died. It doesn't mean that he wouldn't have gone to the physicians. It just means that he was looking at the wrong source for the healing. Are you there? His eyes had shifted. Go to 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. I'm trying to wrap up very quickly now. 2 Chronicles 26. Now this is King Uzziah. King Uzziah, popular. The man was king at the age of 16. And then verse 5, the Bible says he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. I said something the other time in passing that people get into offices and I asked them, can your pastor still talk to him? This guy was 16. But as long as he had a good pastor, the Bible says he sought the Lord. Are you there? Sometimes people grow too big. They grow too big. And that becomes the downfall. Look at it in verse 16. The Bible says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense. So now he was beginning to do the things that kings are not allowed to do. Because now he's king now. Things are working. So now I can do anything I want to do. But not so. Not so with God. The Bible says at the end of the day, Uzziah died a leper. He had to abdicate the throne because he became leprous. Are you with me, anybody? The scriptures say to us in James chapter 1, because then when you are talking about your soul, he said, beloved, I wish that you may prosper as your soul prospers. James chapter 1 verse 21 tells us, he said, now receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. There's nothing that can work on your soul like God's word. Nothing can work on it. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 declares it. He said the word of God is like a two-edged sword and is sharper than a two-edged sword. He said it pierces right down between the bones and the marrows, between the soul and the spirit, and can even show you the intent of your heart. Nothing reaches that deep. Nothing can be separating that way, that can tell you that your real motive for what you want to do is this. He said when you sit with God's word begins to operate like a surgeon's scalpel on you. But it can only do that, according to James chapter 1, if you receive it with meekness. That is, you come before God and you sit as a humble student and say, God, work on me. I open your word today and I ask that you work on me. I ask that you speak to me. I ask that that word enters into me and transforms who I am. So it's not enough to carry the Bible. You know, there are people who've forgotten Bible in church before. And it's the next Sunday they ask, sorry, did they find my Bible? I think I left it in church last Sunday. What did he tell you? He didn't even try to read all through the week, because now it's only this Sunday he's remembering to ask. Did they find? I think. Are you hearing me? How quickly would you discover you've left your Bible if you couldn't find it? How serious is it to you when God is speaking? In Isaiah 66, he said, I am God. I created the whole world. I created everything. He said, there's nothing you can make for me. In which temple are you going to build that will move me? He said, but is the man that trembles at my word. That's the one that I pay attention to. He said, so it's not the giving, it's not the gift, it's not the cathedral you build. He said, but when I see a man that when I speak, when it comes to my word, that person shakes. this is God's word. He said, that person, I give him attention. Are you still there? There are people that when you begin to tell them what the scripture says, they have an issue. You say that, but the Bible says, leave that one. Leave that one. That's theory. We are talking practical now. As I said, there is a problem. You are talking Bible. What should I talk? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because for me, that's the answer to all. Are you there? And sometimes it will say things to me that I don't like. Sometimes that word of God will come to me and it will tell me that me, I have a problem. But when you receive it with meekness, it means when he says you have a problem, you say, help me. I see it now. Help me. Are you there? God says that he wants to bless you, but he needs your soul to prosper alongside. He needs you to open up to his word. He needs you to treasure his word. You know, the word of God is like medicine. And it's not enough. So you give people medicine. And there are many people that they have medicine. They go to the hospital, they are prescribed drugs, they are given the drug prescription, and they don't use it. There are people who use it once in a while. So somebody has hypertension, is giving antihypertensives. And he says, it's my head. Says, have you ever checked your BP? Say, yes, I have hypertension. They say I have hypertension. Say, and they give it to us, say yes. Say, have you been using it? Say no. Say, oh boy, what are you saying? He said, no. I know when it's high. I said, but what did they tell you to do? They said I should use it every day. So what have you been doing? No. When it's high, I use it. How do you know? He said, My head will just be spinning. I said, at that time, you are about to die. So they are telling you to use it so that you will not be about to die. Are you following what I'm saying? That's what he was saying in Proverbs chapter 4, from verse 20. And he said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. So when they give you drug, there's a prescription of how to use it. Use it 3 times a day, before meal, after meal. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's not enough also to say, I read the Bible. When? How? How? John chapter 4 verse 24. He said, now take heed what you hear. He said, the measure with which you hear will determine the measure with which it returns to you. One says the amount of thought and study you give to the word that you hear will determine the amount of knowledge and virtue it returns to you. And then Luke 8:18, he said, take heed how you hear. Not just what you hear, but how you hear. So you need to change how you relate with God's word. That's what God's asking me to say. You need to change how you relate to God's word. You need to treasure it. Just said, I treasure your word more than my necessary food. That is, I see your word to be more essential to my life than food is. You need to change the way you see that word and the way you handle it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So Bible study is not just to be able to say, I did read. Pastor, I read my Bible. It's to know that this will save your life. Are you with me? He told them in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, you need to pay attention to these words. He said, for this is your life. This is your life. That's why I was referring to Proverbs, and he said, give attention. So when you say, and your teacher is teaching class, say, hey, class, give me attention. What does that mean? Stop everything else you are doing. Focus. You know what it means? It means stop doing Facebook while you are reading the Bible. Are you there? Stop replying to WhatsApp messages. Stop watching TikTok videos. Am I stepping on your toes? Jesus will heal it. Can I have an amen? So when it becomes Bible study time, it means clear everything aside. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. When somebody is speaking and you are not sure, say, what did you say? Abby? Incline your ear to my saying. So you will open. You will open diverse translations. Because you are not sure what he's saying. It's not very clear. You want to study. You want to hear him clearly. What does this verse really mean? I know God is saying something to me. You will bury. You will now go and look for concordance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Back in our days, we carried concordance. Concordance was this thick. then we had one Bible we cherished. It was called Dick's Annotated Bible with Concordance. Oh my God. Ah, we have one big Bible in Lagos. It's like that. Big book like that. You carry it. Because you want to incline your ear to say it. You are without excuse, oh man or woman. Because that Dick's Annotated Bible and everything it had is inside here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Back in the days, I went to study. I went to do a master's in England. I carried Dick's Annotated Bible. It was part of my luggage. To come back, I had weight problem. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because Dick's alone is how many kg? But now I don't need all of that. I just carry this. Huh? This has what? Almost how many translations? 100? That I can read anywhere, anytime. I can access them. Incline your ear to my sayings, he said. Are you still there, anybody? He said, do not let it depart from your eyes. Do it all of the time. Do it in the bus. Take 5 minutes in the toilet, in the bathroom, and read God's word. Listen to it. It can play. Now the Bible speaks. Abi? They say there's audio Bible. You press it like he's just talking to you. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And in the beginning, hey! Life is sweet, oh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it's possible to be saturated. That's what it means. It's possible to fill up at all times, in all places. And let that word keep rubbing on your mind. Are you there? It will change who you are. All these things that people also I just have an anger problem. That's my own problem. I have an anger problem. Listen, you stop bragging. The word will change you effortlessly if you give it attention. One day, somebody that will tell you and say, "I used to be angry. What happened to you? You used to be a very angry person." And you say, "It's true." Are you there? Because the scripture said, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it said, now when we look at the glory of God as in a mirror, it said we are transformed into the same image. The Amplified says, when we look at the glory of God in his word as in a mirror, we are transformed into the same image. So something begins to happen. We just start changing to become like God. Are you there? Oh, with these few words, I hope I've convinced you. Eh? We can carry on. How many of you are ready to sit here? You can do till midnight. Okay, let's say the grace for the rest to go. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. You know, years ago, when we preached in Ife, we were students. We went to the campus in Ife, University of Ife. Somebody was having their 21st birthday. Invited a friend of mine to come and speak at the birthday. You know, birthdays were good crusade grounds. So we went. We were a team of preachers. We went and my friend preached and we prayed, laid hands on people and all of that. And, you know, we are taking almost all the time for the party. And people were hungry for more. So we said, you know what, let's close. We said, but if you want more, meet us on the field at midnight. And people came to the field at midnight. And then we ministered till 4 a.m. speaking in the book of Proverbs. He said, don't let me not have enough, so that I will lay my hands to iniquity. He said, but don't let me have more than I can handle, so that I won't stand and curse God. So there's a capacity issue. And that capacity is your soul. It's your soul. It's your soul. And how do I work on that? I work on it by walking my way with God's word. By walking my way with God's word. Very quickly, if you're here tonight also, and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you're online, you can do the same. But you know that you don't have peace with God. But tonight you want to be able to walk out of this place and say that I know that I am a child of God. I know I have no fear of death. I know that if I were to die, I will be with him in glory. You want to have that confidence. You can't have that confidence. Just put your right hand on your chest right where you are and we'll pray together. Thank you. Anybody else doing that, do it quickly and do it boldly. Do it quickly and do it boldly. Everybody else still praying. Every other eye still shut and everybody just praying. Praying, praying, praying. So if you have done it, and if you have done it ever before, or you know that you've not really nurtured your relationship with God, insomuch that you are not sure of where you stand with God anymore, you can be sure again. God is a good God. He's made this opportunity available. That's why you are here, and that's why I'm giving this call, because it's God calling you and saying it's okay. There's a reason he told us the story of the prodigal son in the Bible, and he said as the boy was going back home, the father ran to him. Thank you. Keep your hand there. Anybody else? So whether you have never done it before or you are doing it again because you are not sure anymore and you want to be sure tonight, put your right hand on your chest right where you are and just say with me very quickly. Say it very quickly and very boldly. Say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. I accept you are my Savior. I accept that you are my Lord. And just as you've given yourself for me, I give myself back to you. I will live for you. I will do my best to walk with you and grow in you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for everybody who spread that. Thank you for saving them. And thank you for keeping them and sustaining them. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray quick prayer tonight. I want to pray quick prayer tonight. Maybe whatever your need might be tonight, I want to just pray very quickly that God will touch you. And God will heal you. God will open doors for you. God will bring you provision that you require. God will set you free as you require. It can be that simple, that easy. I think the last time was that December or last year that we prayed like that. It was somebody online that got healed. And when we were testifying, it was somebody online who first testified and said, that day I got it. God is that real. God is that efficient. So very quickly, you are believing God for whatever it is. Just close your eyes right where you are. Put your hand on your chest right where you are. And just tell him what it is you want him to do for you. I give you a moment to tell him what you want. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. You are the one who said we should call on you and you will answer us. You will answer us. You said you will even show us great and mighty things we do not know. Thank you for touching your people. Thank you for touching their lives. Thank you for doing great and mighty things that only you can do. Testimonies that are undeniable. They will know that the turn of events came by nothing but the hand of God. Thank you because it's so. We believe we receive it already. We believe we receive it already. We give you praise for it. Healings, miracles of diverse kinds. For the scriptures declare that you confirm your word with miracles, signs and wonders and various distributions of the Holy Ghost. So be it even now, in the name of Jesus. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name.